This is the national programme from London. The first news, copyright reserved. At the end of this news, please stand by for a very important announcement. It will tell you of certain adjustments of BBC wavelengths affecting broadcasting throughout the United Kingdom as from that time onwards. These wavelength adjustments will result in less adequate reception for some listeners. Please take no alarm at this, as it results from purely technical considerations. Let me warn you again to stand by for this announcement at the end of this bulletin. These are today's main events. Germany has invaded Poland and has bombed many towns. General mobilization has been ordered in Britain and France. Parliament was summoned for 6 o'clock this evening. Orders completing the mobilization of the Navy, Army and Air Force were signed by the King at a meeting this afternoon of the Privy Council. Details will be given later in this news. The British Cabinet met from 11:30 this morning until 1:30, and both Houses of Parliament were summoned for 6 o'clock this evening. We hope to give the first part of Mr. Chamberlain's statement later in this news. France has decreed general mobilization and martial law. The French Parliament is meeting today. Hostilities have been going on since early this morning along the frontiers between Germany and Poland. There is no news about the progress of either side. What news there is comes chiefly from the official broadcasting stations in Warsaw and Berlin. The German Supreme Command announced at 11:30 this morning that German troops had crossed all the frontiers, that the German Air Force had gone into action, and that the German Navy had taken charge of the Baltic. According to the Poles, it was at about 6 o'clock this morning that the first full-scale attacks began. These were air raids on big towns in the Corridor and Upper Silesia. The first towns to be bombed were Chef, Kursk, Torn, Jalistok, and Grodno, Lodz, Katowice, and Krakow. It was earlier reported that in a big attack about 9 o'clock, Warsaw itself was bombed. Late this afternoon, messages were received in London official circles saying that no bombing had taken place up till noon. The Polish wireless this afternoon reported that there had been severe raids from East Prussia on Vilna and Gnidia. The Polish wireless also says that anti-aircraft fire drove off a German attack about 20 miles from Warsaw this morning, and that one of the German bombers was brought down. The German wireless says that the German aeroplanes are dropping their bombs only on military objectives in accordance with instructions. The German wireless also announces that in Danzig this morning, Herr Forster called on Dr. Burkhardt, the League High Commissioner, and that afterwards Dr. Burkhardt and his staff left Danzig. The swastika flag was then hoisted over the office of the League Commissioner. The German news agency says that the decision to transfer Danzig to Germany has been communicated to all diplomatic representatives in Danzig, and that these representatives have been given every protection. At 5:30 this morning, Herr Hitler, as Supreme Commander of the German Armed Forces, issued a proclamation to the German people. It began by repeating allegations against the Poles and continued, "From now on, I have no other choice than to meet force with force. The Germans will fight the battle for the honor and vital rights of reborn Germany with hard determination." A little later, Herr Forster, the Danzig Nazi leader, issued a proclamation uniting Danzig with Germany. He immediately sent a message to Herr Hitler, asking him to agree to this proclamation. Herr Hitler replied, "I accept the proclamation. The law reuniting Danzig with the Reich is ratified forthwith." The people of Danzig were then told that their Führer, Adolf Hitler, had freed them. It is stated in London on the highest authority that if the proclamation of Herr Hitler should mean, as it would seem to mean, that Germany has declared war on Poland, Great Britain and France are inflexibly determined to fulfill to their uttermost their obligations to the Polish government. The Polish ambassador in Berlin formally conveyed to the German government this morning Poland's intention to resist aggression with all her forces and to defend her honor and independence. President Mosiecki of Poland broadcast the following proclamation to the Polish nation today. Early this morning, Germany launched an attack on the Polish state. In this historic moment, I appeal to all our citizens with the deep conviction that the nation will, in defense of its freedom, independence, and honor, rally round the Supreme Commander of the Armed Forces and give a proper reply to the German aggressor as it has so often done in the past. The whole nation, conscious that the blessing of the Almighty rests on its fight for a sacred and just cause and united in the army, will take up the struggle until victory is complete. The Reichstag met in Berlin this morning. Herr Hitler, alleging in his speech that Poland had refused the German proposals, said that last night the Poles were fighting on German territory and that since 5:45 this morning the Germans had been shooting back. He added, "Every bomb will be answered with bombs. Whoever fights with poison gas will be fought with poison gas. This fight, no matter against whom it is fought, will be fought until we have secured our rights. Today, the German army is the strongest and best armed force in the world. I have given my Air Force instructions to confine themselves to military objectives in their attacks on Poland." Herr Hitler thanked Italy, who, he said, had supported Germany all the time, but said that he would not appeal to foreign help now, as the Germans would act by themselves. Referring to Russia, he said that the pact excluded any use of force between Russia and Germany for the whole future. Herr Hitler ended by saying that if anything should happen to him, his successor would be Field Marshal Göring, and after him, party member Hess. It has been stated in London that the German account of the course of recent negotiations is wholly misleading. On the 29th of August, that is last Tuesday, the German Chancellor informed the British ambassador that he expected a Polish plenipotentiary to appear in Berlin by the following day, that is Wednesday, with full powers to negotiate a settlement. The German Chancellor added that in the meantime he hoped to elaborate proposals. In other words, the Polish government were expected to submit to the procedure imposed on the President of Czechoslovakia and to dispatch to Berlin an emissary who was to accept terms, the character of which was wholly unknown to the Polish government. The Polish government have naturally been unwilling to place themselves in this humiliating position. It is not customary, even in the case of peace terms imposed on a defeated power, to demand that negotiators should not be allowed to refer for instructions to their government. It is impossible to comment at such short notice on the misleading statements of the German government, but the general attitude of the British government may be briefly defined as follows. If the German government had been sincerely desirous of settling the dispute by negotiation, they would not have adopted this procedure, which has the character of an ultimatum. They would, on the contrary, have opened negotiations with the Polish government in accordance with the normal procedure of civilized governments in order to fix the place and time for the opening of negotiations. The Polish government, in the opinion of the British government, were fully justified in declining to submit to the treatment which the German government endeavored to impose upon them. As regards the terms now published, which have never been hitherto communicated to the Polish government, the British government can only say that these terms should, of course, have been submitted to the Polish government with time to consider whether or not they infringed Poland's vital interests, which Germany, in a written communication to the British government, had declared her intention of respecting. It was announced from the broadcasting station at Cologne this evening that the whole of Western Germany is to be blacked out every night until further notice. President Roosevelt has appealed to the European powers that if they should be involved in hostilities, they should refrain from bombing civilians and unfortified towns. The appeal was addressed to Great Britain, France, Italy, Poland, and Germany. The President asks each government publicly to affirm its determination that its armed forces shall in no event undertake bombardment from the air of civilian populations or unfortified cities, and asks for an immediate reply. The Canadian Cabinet are meeting this afternoon. The Dominion Parliament has been summoned to meet on Sunday, and government departments have already started the machinery for putting Canada on a war basis. New Zealand today proclaimed a state of emergency as a precautionary measure. It was announced in Singapore today that all British ships east of Singapore must call there before proceeding west. The King went to No. 10 Downing Street this afternoon and remained there for 25 minutes. When His Majesty left, Mr. Chamberlain accompanied him to the door and they shook hands on the step. As the royal car moved away, there was tremendous cheering from the crowds lining the pavements in Downing Street. The Queen paid a visit to the headquarters of the Women's Voluntary Services in Westminster today. Her Majesty remained at the centre for nearly an hour. The evacuation of British children is going on smoothly and efficiently. The Ministry of Health says that great progress has been made with the first part of the government's arrangements. The railways, the road transport organisations, the local authorities and teachers, the voluntary workers, and not least, the householders in the reception areas are all playing their part splendidly. From the provinces, it is reported that arrangements are going ahead like clockwork, both with evacuation and reception. Incoming trains have been arriving punctually, and the children have been met and transferred to reception areas. In between the children's trains, others are taking invalids from hospitals. Among the announcements which will be given at the end of this bulletin is one from the Ministry giving particulars about evacuation. And here is a message from the London Regional Commissioners for all members of rescue and demolition parties in the County of London and the City of London. Please report at once to the assembly point of which you have been notified. Please report at once to the assembly point of which you have been notified. The following announcement concerns all members of the Auxiliary Fire Service, men and women. All fire authorities have been instructed to call out the Auxiliary Fire Service and proceed with their mobilization arrangements. In some places, the telegrams may not have been received. This announcement is official, and members of the Auxiliary Fire Service should report for duty at once, in accordance with any standing instructions they have received. In the absence of any special instructions, they should report to their local fire station. The Lord Privy Seal has asked us to say that he hopes that all employers will do all they can to arrange for the immediate release of members of their staff who are enrolled in any branch of the Civil Defence Services, as local authorities have been instructed to call up the remainder of the ARP volunteers. This applies also to all trained men in the Auxiliary Fire Services.